Vets go, how active is the Vets Hall as Vets organizing themselves or getting resources or services or...
Okay, let me just finish that thing about administrative law.
Yeah, right.
I believe administrative law probably includes how a particular department has spent the money that was allocated to them from Sacramento or federal. I believe administrative law covers decision making at the local level, and we should investigate that further.
And that's always a little bit...
activist Laura Tucker.
Because you don't want people to be discouraged from being a nonprofit and helping people, but at the same time, you don't want them to totally exploit and just take the money and not use it the way they're supposed to. So I feel like I don't want to be like totally policing them to the point where they're afraid to exist.
Well, the nonprofits are probably doing what they can. It's the decision of the political.
Army where the guy's getting paid $35, but they didn't budget a shower or potable water.
Well, that's to do with the city not monitoring these programs accurately from a health and safety standpoint, which they're supposed to do.
Yeah, so they're not really given like this template, like you must do this, this, and this, and then have a group that is checking to make sure that they do those things.
They do not audit these things properly.
They don't audit them properly.
That's what I think.
It's always politics. So why our world is going to
they go ahead, run it for us, and then they go and sit back and trust them. And legally, the county is the government that is legally responsible for the health and safety of everybody within its border. It's not the city that's ultimately responsible.
Yeah, that's what David Silva kept saying. Why aren't we going to the Board of Supervisors?
Are you proposing something specific?
Well, yeah, I do. I propose that apart from any legal actions by the Union of Homeless, or Food Not Bombs, apart from their illegal actions, we need another one that is where we should get the help of the Western Center on Law and Poverty. I propose that sometimes, and I haven't had time to investigate that. The Western Center on Law and Poverty is a big organization in Sacramento, and we should see what kind of cases they're interested in, and whether they particularly want to do a thing like that.
Yeah, it would be nice to get a group from outside of Santa Claus, because I was arguing with Abby early on in the Ross Camp days. She was frustrated because she's working with the ACLU. Telling her how disgruntled I was with the ACLU who had the death trap for years. And she said, well, my God can explain the word for all those people. That's part of the problem is that these groups that could help us have people on the board.
The ACLU has a long history of being ineffective in some regards, and the National Lawyers Guild is the only more militant organization that does anything statewide consistently for anti-poverty.
But not here. But not here.
Yeah, we don't have an NLG cell down here.
Well, it doesn't even matter. They have NLG lawyers and they don't help.
They can help the other people. I'm a member of the local chapter. I'm going to go to the board of the UNA. Dennis Etler is the chairman. And we've got to get them to align with us.
Yeah.
And align with all the homeless advocates and activist organizations. And they've got to make that a permanent alignment under the UN Declaration of Human Rights, use that as the... And if we can sort of get these elected people thinking, hey, you know, the UNA local might invite bigger UNA examination, I think we should get this thing examined from outside.
I feel like, I'm sorry to get philosophical again, but I think there's a split between people who want to clean up the streets and eliminate homelessness, or the idea of the freedom of people to choose whether they're traveling or, you know, coming through or living in a car or...
Well, it's been firmly established socially and in law that America is the country of ultimate individuality, so the individual makes all their choices.
Well, that would be my argument. A lot of people feel like they just can't let these people be born on the street, and they shouldn't be here. This is a rich area. We paid for our condo.
Well, okay.
You know?
There are laws that say if you're a danger to yourself or others and cannot support yourself, cannot protect your own health, they are entitled to hold you for 72 hours, right? I mean, that's a long establishment.
Do you think there's laws in place already?
That's, I think so.
Yeah.
So is that pretty much it?
Yeah.
I said go to the UN, go to the Westbridge Center on Poverty, see what you can get. I've never seen anything from either of those groups in the past. Or they will give you at best a written statement. But, you know, that's good. Get a written statement.
And trying to see what kind of cases they've handled over the last 5 years.
If you'd like, sure.
Yeah. So that's my goal.
I'd like to see them, you know, get in there in defense of local people who are charged with all this shit.
Yeah.
Or try to get an injunction, the obvious thing.
Yeah, things like that.
Sorry?
No,
we
need to find an attorney.
And that's always an issue.
Your email.
I sent you recently an email.
And it's really, of course, hard to hear in this kind of echo chamber restaurant while we're talking, but you probably catch some of it. At least I did as I heard it again. Still a certain amount of frustration as I hear this kind of discussion, which is, in a way, quite reasonable. But when I come to these meetings, I usually have a very specific agenda about particular actions that we can do with respect to pressure on particular officials around particular issues, whether it's running people out of the parking garages into the rain or destroying camps along Coral Street without giving people an alternate place to go, or maintaining restrictions at the 1220 River campground for people living there that they wouldn't normally have if they were ordinary human beings in any kind of residential situation. Treating them as less than full people. In other words, specific concerns and abuses which have to be addressed and which need to be exposed, and whether or perhaps discrimination by a particular restaurant or particular business or a particular business association, a particular practice of misinformation by the city council, by the city management of the city council, the staff, I should say, the city manager, the false narrative being spread that homeless people are well housed, that their complaints are improper and insufficiently, well, they're untrue. In fact, it is this narrative that is untrue because people don't have shelter, 75-80% of the homeless folks outside in Santa Cruz, and yet they're being treated as criminals for creating their own shelter. And their property is constantly being put in jeopardy simply because of the pressure from those who are much more privileged than they, local business owners, residents, out of the city people who don't like the aesthetic sight of camps and tents set up, but couldn't be bothered with establishing maybe alternate accommodations if that's really their concern. Anyway, for a long time, that's been my main and almost, well, constant focus at these Huff meetings. And it's it's hard to plan actions with only four or five people, which is how many we had at this Conscience in Action / Huff meeting on January 1st. We plow on. Before plowing any further, however, let's take a musical break.
Back and a good dream to stand up for. I got my hand over my heart. Oh, but I don't feel at home here anymore. Big mall and a shake and rattle and roll at the core. Things sprawl after they fall when I don't feel. Wisdom drowned out by TV. Oh, and I don't feel at home here anymore. A blind engineer, war train on the track. Many and many a heart is sore. We want our country back. We want to feel at home here once more.
It's Greg Brown, I Want My Country Back. Heard him before much, and he's a little slow for my taste, but I'll be trying to play some new songs here. Still looking for an opening song that might replace Sing Me a Song of Social Significance. Until then, we'll be singing songs of social significance from older times, or whatever we can find. And here's some good news on Santa Cruz Indie Media. Just before Christmas, glimmer of hope for RV dwellers in Mountain View. Not Santa Cruz, mind you, but Mountain View. This is posted by somebody called Watching City Council, and it really is a quote from The Guardian, which is an English newspaper with an American bureau. The Mountain View City Council's ban on RVs has been overturned by a referendum petition. If the council wishes to try again to enact a ban, they must go to the voters. The earliest election for this would be November 2020. Meanwhile, the default is no ban. Silicon Valley's housing problem is international news. 1 year ago, UK newspaper The Guardian published a video documenting the life of a boy living with his family in an RV on Cristanto Street in Mountain View. Despite the widely viewed video's sympathetic portrayal of the plight of RV dwellers, Despite numerous protests, both in the city's main plaza and within city council meetings, the council came down on the side of NIMBY residents. What a surprise. In the spring of this year, the city council directed staff to begin working on a citywide prohibition on parking vehicles more than 6 or 7 feet tall. In September, the city council passed a sweeping ban that would close off most streets in the city to oversized vehicles. City officials claimed the new ordinance was all about traffic safety measures, but the action was widely seen as an effort to push the hundreds of people living in RVs and trailers out of the city. The Mountain View Housing Justice Coalition and the Silicon Valley Democratic Socialists of America, already involved in acting on behalf of underhoused people, got down to business. They began circulating a petition to hold a referendum on the council's decision in order to take that decision to the voters. 2 days before Christmas, many RV dwellers got news that brought hope that they might be able to keep their mobile homes in the city where most of the adults are employed. Officials with the Santa Clara County Registrar of Voters announced that the referendum petition had successfully collected enough signatures to overturn the vehicle ban. If the council wishes to try again to enact the ban, they must go to the voters. And the earliest election for this would be November 2020. So meanwhile, the default is, that is the current situation is and will be, no RV ban. We created a similar kind of challenge here in Santa Cruz. It's a little different. A referendum does require a lot of organizing. You have to get lots of signatures within 30 days after the city council passes a law. And what we did was we instead appealed an RV ban law at night, which is what was passed by Rochelle Noroyan. She led the issue at City Council some years ago. We took it to the Coastal Commission, claiming that this was had not gotten a coastal permit, or the coastal permit it got was inappropriate because there was no access to the coast for coastal for RVs. And the Coastal Commission, when it came to town, decided that this was a serious issue that needed real consideration, at which point the city backed down and decided not to enforce its ordinance. I don't know if they ever actually regurgitated the ordinance or annulled it or rescinded it, but they haven't enforced it. And it, well, it is being enforced in the county, that is the county's version of it, in violation of the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission's local people have weekly protested or written nasty letters to the sheriff, but there's still harassment happening, not on a persistent, thorough basis. It's not entirely clear how much that is happening. I haven't got a clear sense of that. And what the city does is it uses permit parking as its excuse, even though permit parking set up in areas around within the coastal zone is a violation of the coastal ordinance because it doesn't allow for people who are in RVs to park their RVs at night. And it has the same problem that Rochelle Noroyan's RV ban at night had, which is there's no place for RVs to go in the coastal zone to have access to the coast at night. And it also penalizes poor people who live in their vehicles without any kind of real justification in terms of public health and safety, which is, of course, always been the claim of RV dwellers and those defending them, like myself, that these are really, the attacks on RV dwellers are NIMBY arguments, not in my backyard arguments, that have nothing to do with real public health and safety, but where public health and safety is the pretext, just like walking in and shaking a can of hypodermic needles to drive away all kinds of people who aren't drug users from the public spaces, from the right to survive at night and to set up tents for themselves when they have no other shelter, is a false and misleading and fear-mongering and really kind of fascistic approach, which is trying to generate fear in people to use police power to deny the rights, even the survival rights and needs of a whole group of people who are have become a pariah class, a scapegoat class. And that's what's happened with homeless people in Santa Cruz, I believe. Play next is sort of a brief series of observations about this last year's December 31st DIY parade. Yourself DIY parade, which has gone on every year, increasingly smaller numbers, starting around the back of the Saturn Cafe at Spruce and Pacific, and going all the way down to the end of Pacific near the Jamba Juice or Jumba Juice or Jamba Juice. I can never be clear which that name is. Lula Carpenter's, more or less. And here's the manifesto for the first last year's DIY manifesto, or it was the manifesto for the first parade, I believe, or one of the early parades, 2009. Last night is a decentralized, collective, open, public New Year's Eve celebration in Santa Cruz, California. Completely organic event organized and put out on a grassroots level. No city sponsorship, no corporate donors. It's a do-it-yourself DIY parade and celebration. This manifesto in the spirit of understanding and an attempt to communicate our intentions. The parade is not merely a celebration, but a celebration of the power that we all have when we gather together to make something happen. Not just a street party, but a party to reclaim our streets. Celebration is decentralized. No one person or group is making it happen. There is no central committee nor board of directors. No one is in charge. We are all leaders. Decisions about route and timing and other tactical matters are made collectively by those willing to step up and make it happen. Collective simply means we do it all together. We are not asking for permits and permission, nor are there any limits on participation. No one is in a position to restrict who can participate or in what way. People simply show up, prepared to take part in a citywide celebration. Our entire community is invited to participate and celebrate together. The focus is on self-reliance. One of the most important aspects of the last night's celebration is that people take responsibility for themselves and for their community. As such, parade unorganizers take pains to address issues such as security, traffic control, sanitation, cleanup, and police liaison. Beyond the impossible barrier of the city's arduous and prohibitively expensive special event permit, the permit process itself is a racket. It is the process through which the city seeks to charge us for the privilege of exercising our rights to free speech and free assembly. Accepting a permit puts one person or group in the position of having to put controls on other people, lest someone damage their good standing with the authorities. Additionally, that person or group takes responsibility and liability for the action of others. We don't want to be in that position, nor do we want someone to have that responsibility for us. We want to live in a world full of play and celebration, where self-expression is a matter of course, a world full of surprises, in which relationships are authentic and open-ended, a world in which we share a direct connection to the world around us, where one does not have to ask permission of authorities to realize one's dreams of adventure and possibility. Part of creating a new world is resistance to the old one, to the relentless commodification and control of everything, including celebration and the way we relate to each other. When we ask permission to live our lives, to celebrate, to come together, to express dissent, we legitimize the power of institutions over us. We give up our power to make our own choices and become subject to the decisions of others who may or may not be acting in our interests. Therefore, we are not seeking permits from the city. We refuse to ask permission to be free. Last night started in 2005, that's DIY, the last night of the year, the celebration, as a response to the implosion of the city-sponsored first night celebration. That year, thousands of people came out to participate in the People's Parade that marched raucously up Pacific Avenue. The parade included the Santa Cruz Trash Orchestra, martial arts displays, fire dancers, the Santa Cruz Peace Coalition, Indonesian music, drum circles, floats, and the Opera Lady. The parade was high energy and peaceful. There were no conflicts with police, whose light presence remained far on the periphery. The parade and its organizers represented a broad cross-section of the community. In a typical overreaction of authority to the threat of people taking responsibility in their own lives, the Santa Cruz Police Department deployed undercover officers to infiltrate parade planning meetings for 3 months. Records released after the spying scandal came to light revealed a pattern of abuses, including monitoring unrelated groups and other First Amendment activities and compiling police dossiers of organizers. The city's own police auditor determined that police had violated the civil rights of parade organizers. After 6 months of effort, community activists, and ACLU involvement, the city put in place a weak policy to curb some of the abuses of police power. It should be added that the person who oversaw this series of abuses, who was then, I guess, Lieutenant Kevin Vogel, soon thereafter became police chief. He was promoted instead of being demoted or censured or criticized or held to account for not only organizing this abusive surveillance of the DIY parade organizers, this First Amendment activity, but investigating the whole issue later. Instead of it being investigated by a neutral body, he appointed himself the person to investigate it, or he was appointed the person to investigate it, even though he had organized it in the first place. And he, of course, found that all was well. The police auditor found otherwise, but that made little difference, since the police auditor, Bob Aronson, is really a part of the whole show and shindig, and Cynthia Matthews, then the mayor, ignored essentially what was being presented. And the weak set of guidelines for police looking into people's activities and supposedly protecting their First Amendment rights and guarding them from unnecessary police surveillance didn't really amount to much. And as I said, the guy who was the primary culprit was appointed to the boss of the police department, the highest position. And for the next 8 years, had an ICE agent in his police headquarters in violation of city policy, snooping on people who are immigrants, undocumented immigrants. This year's DIY was much smaller, but some of the basic folks who are the mainstay of it, like Brent Adams, like some people whose names I don't even know. There's a fellow on a it's a unicycle with handlebars. It has two wheels, so it's not just a unicycle, but it has a unicycle-like wheel that's turning round and round. But the front wheel is less turny or less mobile. In any case, and I run my vehicle in the parade. It's a vehicle with a lot of bumper stickers on it. War stickers, anti-authoritarian stickers, and so forth. Sort of a mega teddy bear on top of the vehicle with a bunch of buttons on it, which often festoon the bathrobe I wear, which I was wearing throughout the event, too. Here's some of what happened.
What things are you looking for?
Well, I'm just kind of interviewing folks here at the first night, or last night, or DIY parade. This is the last night.
And,
sure. And we have a man here with a mobile bass viol. How vile is this bass viol?
It's a full string bass. They call it three-quarter size. It's what you see most jazzers play.
So it's a little bit smaller than your average bass viol?
A little bit more.
It's smaller than some symphony. In fact, perhaps most symphony basses. But it's the same size as jazz combos use often.
Is that your medium is jazz?
Well, jazz, everything actually, except rap.
You refuse to do rap?
partly because it's about the words more than about chords and things that I am most interested in.
What's your name?
Jerry Paul.
Jerry, is this your first parade?
Oh, no, by no means. I've been in, I don't know, thousands of gigs. You know.
And how many DIY parades have you been in?
The first.
That's right.
Well, first night was, it really inspired me. And, you know, a decade ago when they still were running it, we could see 30 groups and it was inspiring. We had no idea what talent was in the community until first night. And then they canceled it, I guess, insurance risk or something like that on
the money for the downtown. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was such a wonderful event. It brought the community together, and we did gigs for free just because we wanted to be part of the wonderful celebration, and it was sober, you know. It was art as opposed to just getting blotto, you know. And
that happens later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, we're gonna go play and sing with some folks up the street, but it's very nice to meet you.
Yeah, and you are.
I'm Claire.
All right, we expect to hear you loud and clear, Claire.
It's a deal. All right.
Thank you, and you are again.
Jerry Paul.
On February 14th, there's going to be a Love Fest sing-along at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 7 to 9 at night. So come and join us.
Thank you. Beginning, I'm going to be following up the parade in my vehicle with the Grande Teddy on top. Metro are slowly approaching the metro, and I think they're ourselves and Curtis's, Curtis Relaford's large going to the Hopi Reservation double long vehicle. I'm not sure. Is that what's behind us, Gloria? And we have guys on wheelie cycles that with the wheels that turn round and round, and three wheelers, and I think there's a unicycle. No, it just looks like a unicycle. One of the wheels, both wheels look like freewheeling unicycles. Lieutenant Flippo off to the side, his hand on his pistol or on his hip, I'm not sure which, standing in front of Betty's Noodles.
Curtis has a bicycle. It's pulling a trailer, it looks like, and he's wearing a Santa.
So apparently Curtis has abandoned his large vehicle. But he is carrying his music with him. And Crazy Clown Nose Brent is doing the big drum thing, banging away on his, 50-gallon drum. Some people are carrying signs, others have umbrellas festooned with blue lights. The guy in a wheelchair, another one wheeling him, and a kid walking next to him. And hey, there's quite a contingent of police with this as well. There were about, I'm guessing, 6 to 8 cops bunched up, kind of chatting with the crowd or standing around with the crowd before we took off from the parking lot in back of Walgreens and the Saturn Cafe. The marchers, including the intrepid automobile driver, me, are ignoring the stop signs, the traffic lights, but simply proceeding forward slowly, relentlessly, to keep up with the parade. And it's blocking all side traffic imperiously, I might say. Who knows? Weather is chilly, slightly, not cold. And we're getting some waves and some nods from folks on the sidewalk, although they're scattered people. I would say, oh gosh, for every car that's parked, there may be 2 or 3 people looking as they stand on the sidewalk. Occasional dog, apparently, is here. Giving the thumbs up to the folks on the sidewalk. They're giving the wave to me. Some people are just watching. And occasionally the Robert Norris name shouts out from the sidewalk. Richly deserved, I might add. And it's don't see too many homeless people. Well, I've seen a couple, I guess, musicians who are, if not homeless, then regular attenders at the Red Church's Monday meal. So some folks are videoing the whole shindig from the sidelines. People seem to be happy. Others are and Keith McHenry in a chef's outfit is giving out flyers about the the event that's happening at the very end of this parade, which is a canopy and a table remembering the homeless dead. It's been there all day. And since noon, there's the police chief sitting by the side of the Forever 21, his hands in his pocket, but he won't take a flyer from Keith. None of the, Paul won't take one either, but then Paul's already read it.
And Keith McHenry, for those who are new to this, is the co-founder and current one of the organizers of the Food Not Bombs meal, which happens every Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6, right outside the main post office.
Keep it up! And the bicycle, tricycle, wheelicycle guy is still cycling around. Unicycle has been with a high seat and handlebars. So it's not right for greater control. Paper cranes to the children. Nick is joining the festivities. Hey, Nick! Shout at that guy.
Hi!
Yeah, it's Ian!
How you like our bear?
Nice.
He's drunk. He's slightly drunk.
He's been drinking again.
Too early, I think.
And a pogo stick. And there you say bubbles. And bubbles are appearing here as we pass Cooper Street. Someone's bubbling up the street here. I doubt it. But it's possible. Nope. Somebody's waving a big wand with lots of bubbles. Yeah, oh, and they're popping all over my car. Help. Turned onto the one-way street, heading past Bookshop Santa Cruz, Fijay's, and a news store. There are a whole bunch of news stores. We got Toke Beanery and Bodie and Fior, gosh. Stores I never heard of. Byzantine Jewelry, that's more vaguely more familiar. There's occasional groups of people watching us as the music plays on. I feel like I'm an idiot in a presidential parade here. And we're approaching the end of Pacific Avenue. There's a Plaza Lane optometry on one side and Zoccoli's, actually an old-time store that's retained its permanence here. Here's, I guess it's calling itself Plaza Lane. It's right next to the new Barcelona. Barcelona? And there's Verve. Not to mention the new Pokey House. Boy, it's like I'm an advertising campaign here. The Lulu Carpenter's Jamba Juice conclusion of the parade. And in the past, people have hung out here for, well, wherever the parade decided to stop for long, long periods of time. They've had pillow fights. They've had, events of different kinds. And now people are kind of just dancing and celebrating. This time we have, I guess, 20, 30, 40, 50, probably no more than 100 people. Hey, good luck. It's George or Jim, I can never tell which. One of the twins. So, any reports from the street?
None.
How many police are behind us?
One cop car, or one truck, and a motorcycle.
And are they doing anything exciting?
Not really.
Fair enough. Well, it's a happy new...
I know you guys have stickers for me.
I might, once I can get... Yeah, actually, I probably can give you a sticker. Let me get out and do that.
music of Curtis Relaford, who's in a Santa outfit and hugging someone I don't know. And only one person is plugging his ears, but it is, as you can probably hear, pretty loud. Sign of city council members here.
No city council members.
Someone is trying to lead the crowd to festivities, well, the canopy of protesting the homeless deaths and the sidewalk fence where people died. Well, Jerry was found dead within the last week, I think. It's beginning to clear out, so I may have to move my...
Tomorrow's a bear. I had to dance with
him. You want to dance with my bear?
Ask her. I'm dancing with the bear.
Did he dance with the bear? Is that the bare truth?
Yes, sir.
I barely believe it.
That's okay.
Well, okay.
We won't ever talk to a cop. That's
well I mean, he's got some pretty rude things to say about the police, that bear, you know.
I said bears give good love more than anybody else in the whole world.
And that, of course, was Blue, a homeless activist from way back. Turning his vehicular, his bicycle-drawn amplifier and speaker around, or no, he's just parking it, the Hachi Kachi dance in his Santa suit.
People look happy, though.
Yeah. Came out.
What?
Right there.
Yeah, I know.
He's probably going to get a drink or something.
No, he came off his motorcycle.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Let's see what we got here. So we should leave within 10 minutes. We want to get the food. That's okay. Post office lights just went on. Now they went off. Now they went on. Here goes Nick. Here comes Nick.
And I'm afraid I had to edit some of that DIY commentary, which I originally made because it's, frankly, not very interesting, at least not to me, and I'm afraid it wouldn't be too interesting to you listeners out there. The parade is a celebration and a recapturing of the public space, which did happen briefly, although it was... to some extent, if not orchestrated by the police, it was at least, it ended primarily as people walked away, but I was told a cop did come up to my vehicle and asked me to move when it appeared there was only about a dozen people, perhaps a little more than that, in the street, and I took off. It would have been more in keeping with the spirit of the original DIY to have said, I'll be gone when they've left. That's when I'll be leaving. And that would have been more appropriate, but I also had other things I wanted to do. In fact, I had thoughts of ducking out of the parade at some point, having made a presence felt and been there for a period of time and just taking off into the distance, but I stayed. And I wish there was more to report, and there probably was, but perhaps you had to have been there. Would have been the experience. I mentioned Jerry, the guy who died and was found dead by the post office fence within the last week or two. Here's a a brief memory of Jerry from someone who knew him.
So I'm talking with
Drew.
Drew, you didn't know him too well, but you knew Jerry a little bit, the guy who died recently?
Yeah.
And you were saying you're hoping he's at peace. How long did you know him for, if at all?
I don't know, a bit, about like maybe 2 years, maybe three.
What was he like?
Cantankerous. He had a lot of nice moments, but he seemed to spoil them when he'd get cantankerous. But he was pretty nice sometimes.
Sleep out here, right?
I think so, yeah.
Now, are you planning to crash here tonight yourself?
No.
You've got a place to go?
No.
But you'll end up somewhere.
Probably. More than likely.
Anything happened in the last week you want to pass on you think is important or interesting?
Not really, no.
And we've been talking with?
Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Bob.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Yeah, you too. Hardy har.
So it's either Drew or Bob, and I was kind of looking for people's memories of Jerry and didn't find too many. That one wasn't terribly clear. But I guess for me the point is that people are dying outside and they're dying prematurely. And perhaps more important than that, people are suffering currently. I guess when you're gone, you're gone. But before that happens, you're still alive. And the idea that that should be allowed to continue when the facilities exist to provide shelter, or just at least to leave people alone, it's saddening or infuriating, depending on your stance and what you're looking at, or where you're standing when you're observing it, if you're observing it or suffering it. A little earlier that day, I ran into Lucero Luna, who was staffing the Union of the Homeless Canopy, which was set up at noon on December 31st and lasted through until the parade around 6 o'clock that night. The idea being to have a kind of a spot for people to come to in the midst of what would be a cold day, although I don't think there was a heater there or anything, but maybe it was a form of, I don't know, potential spiritual warmth or sort of a friendly location to come to. And here's Lucero, who had some comments.
You're announcing the beginning of the Freedom Sleepers.
Yes, I am a Fringe Princess, so I became a Fringe Princess when we started Freedom Sleepers July 4, 2015. I was banned for a year from Santa Cruz. 2 years later, I come back and I get arrested at the Phoenix Survival Camp. On November 15, and the community got together and bailed me out. That was $6,000. And so I'm trying not to get arrested. However, I think it's time that we go back to City Hall and create Freedom Sleepers number 2.
How can people get more involved?
Participating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, supporting us and standing on the side of love for love, compassion, and justice.
When will this happen?
Well, that's on the works.
So keep tuned to Free Radio, or Free Radio on the net? Or
I don't know.
Facebook page for Lucero Luna?
Meetings or something, right?
Come to the Conscious in Action
off
meeting?
Unfortunately, I have to go back, thanks to Commissioner Paul W. Bailey, who convicted me of a battery charge, and it's being appealed. And I was put in a 3-year probation, informal probation, 2 weeks before I came to Santa Cruz. And so, yeah, so I've all violated my informal probation in Ventura County. So I'm going back because I have the appeal case on the 8th, January 8th.
Sounds appalling rather than appealing.
Yeah.
And we've been talking with?
Freedom Princess.
Thank you.
If Lucero makes it out of Ventura, when she appeals her case down there on the 8th, and whether there'll be a revitalization, a return of the Freedom Sleepers. It's being discussed by activist Phil Posner, who wants to first chat with Mayor Cummings, and in hopes of some kind of, oh, I don't know, a reconciliation, understanding, positive response from the city council. Justin Cummings, of course, is the key vote in a progressive majority that could begin winter shelter, however late, could allow encampments, could demand the police back off from seizure and destruction of property and harassment of homeless people in public spaces, ditto with people in RVs. All this could happen, again, with the council majority, or at least they could pass requirements that the city manager direct the police department to do this. Whether this would actually happen without firing both the city manager and the police chief, and possibly the city attorney as well, is another issue entirely. But the process could begin with a four-person majority on the city council. And I guess that's what starry-eyed Phil Posner hopes will happen. I, of course, think that's highly unlikely. And the best thing to do is to recognize realities, recognize that Justin Cummings seems to be securely in the purse of Cynthia Matthews, or in the pocket of Cynthia Matthews. I don't think it's financial. I think it has to do with some sort of notion of accepting a conservative leadership, some misplaced idea that you have to get buy-in from bigots in the community in order to proceed. Yeah, I don't quite know what the motivations of Justin Cummings are, and I haven't heard back from him. Well, he did say in one email that we would arrange to meet after the new year, and of course, it's now after the new year, and we'll see if he keeps his word. He hasn't seen fit to contact me in the past, so we'll see if he does so in the future. In the meantime, the issue, of course, is what are we going to do to mobilize people in the community who care about this issue to either make demands or forget demands, set up facilities ourselves on this situation, occupy the vacant buildings if that's what needs to be done, set up the campgrounds or support those who are setting up the campgrounds, establish the basic sanitation facilities that the city refuses to do, that kind of stuff. We'll see. If you're interested in that kind of issue, contact the Union of the Homeless. Alicia Cool is interested in that. She's at 431-7766. 431-7766. Here's the audio section of a video which Brent Adams was able to secure. You can see it on Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz. This apparently is the guy, Jerry, who died, as mentioned before, and who you heard the very brief memorial to, well, comments about earlier in this program.
Jerry, how's it going, Jerry?
Good,
Brent. What's happening with you?
I'm homeless. I'm crippled. All my doctors know that. All my social workers know that, and they haven't done anything. So what am I to do?
Yes, a medical problem?
Well, let's see.